Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Judges again. I hope you're not wearied with this study. I have to be honest, I made an honest effort to get away from this tonight. And this is where I wound up having the leadership as was studied. And Judges chapter 15, one more time, I'm not going to preach the same message I preached Sunday night. And I definitely don't want to preach the same way I preached Sunday night. But Judges chapter 15, if you find that, stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. And we'll read the last 6 or 7 verses of that chapter one more time tonight. The Bible says in Judges chapter 15, verse number 14, "And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and called that place Ramoth Lehi. And he was sore athirst, and called on the Lord, and said, Thou hast given me this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst, and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. But God clave a hot and hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof En Hakkor, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. You can be seated. Father, I thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for your good mercy and your good grace tonight. Thank you for the blessing of being in your house tonight. Thank you, Lord, for these folks that have come out on this Wednesday night. And Lord, I appreciate them being here. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we look to your word tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak through your word. Lord, you know the need of each individual. God, you know the struggle. You know the battle. God, you know the turmoil. But I'm glad, God, that there's help in your word tonight. I pray, God, that you'd touch my heart. You'd touch my mind. You'd touch my tongue. You'd strengthen my voice. God, may I just be your vessel tonight. God, I desire your touch upon me as I try to preach tonight. May everything I do tonight, God, just be a help to your people tonight and bring honor and glory to your name. And we'll praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at these texts, we find that word Ramoth Lehi, which simply means the heel of the jawbone. And for just a little while, I want to preach about the victory at Jawbone Hill. And what we're going to look at is some secrets to Samson's victory that I believe that can help us to find victory in our life. Now, I'm honest. I know I spent a lot of time, I feel like, poor mouthing Samson. None of us were perfect. I guess that's just the gift of being Baptist. We can flat out do some poor mouthing. The difference is I've got to use the Bible and do it from the pulpit. But tonight we're going to look at a high point. This was a high point in Samson's life as he experienced this great victory at Ramoth Lehi. And I want to look at 3 things tonight that I believe we can see that will help us to have victory in our own lives. First of all, we need to recognize the combatants that were involved. There were 3 participants that were involved in this chapter. We have the children of Israel, we have Samson, and we have the Philistines. First, I want to look at the children of Israel and recognize them as Samson's friends and what they did here. You realize that they actually were the ones that captured Samson voluntarily when they went up to the rock there, and 3,000 of them went up and came together and took Samson, and Samson made a promise that they wouldn't slay him, but he would just turn them over to the Philistines. I think about this, and what I see here, one is a great letdown. You would greatly expect your brothers and sisters in Christ, those that, and if we use it in our vernacular, those in your church, to rally around you and even fight with you. So what Samson really found here was some disappointment. I mean, they should have joined him. This was a point in time where they could have made an army and they could have fought with the Philistines. And I mean, God was in the victory-giving business, but they didn't help him. But they not only didn't help him, but they were the very ones that did complete opposite. They took him and they turned him over to the Philistines. Of course, they told him, we're not going to kill you, but they didn't say what the Philistines were going to do. The Philistines had already said, we're going to do what he's done to us. And you read up in the chapter, he had smitten them hip and thigh. But there's a letdown involved here with his friends. But you know, there's a lesson here. I look at these texts and there's things that I see, but there's something that I don't see. I know that the story of Samson is filled with failures. It's full. But you know, not one time in these chapters about Samson do you see him fighting his own people. Not one time did he raise his hand against the children of Israel. Not one time did he raise a word against the children of Israel. And boy, there's a great lesson when you're recognizing the enemy. The enemy's not up here in this pulpit, and my enemy's not out there in the pew. I want to tell you, we are family. We are friend tonight. And let it be said, there may be a lot of things we may do to each other, but may it never be one time that we raise our tongues, that we raise our hand to fight against one another. I mean, I want to tell you, family. I think about that. I always, there's one thing in my house that I wasn't going to allow my boys to do. They may have their disagreements, but they wasn't never going to fight. They wasn't ever going to bare knuckle and slug it out with each other because they were brothers. They were brothers and they ought to have been best of friends. And I want to tell you, you want to talk about something that displeases God, and we go to fussing and fighting against one another down at the house of God. Now, I don't know that going on, but I'm just telling you, that's what don't please God. Amen. I tell you, I know a verse in Philippians chapter 3. I think about verse 2. I think some of it has to do with false doctrine, but it says this, if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed. I think a good interpretation of that, if you live in a glass house, don't throw rocks. And so I encourage you to think about that, because I want to remind you as we think about this letdown and lesson, nobody in the world can hurt you like God's people. You say, there ain't nobody hurt me like God's man. Well, there ain't nobody hurt God's under shepherd like the little sheep. And there's nobody that hurts you like that. But I see Samson's friends in this. And I want to tell you, if you're throwing rocks at the brethren, you ain't going to have victory. And I want to tell you the fact that Samson didn't. Boy, what a great compliment it is to him, because he had reason here. Boy, he could have stood up on that rock. He could have stuck his finger in their face and said, you bunch of cowards. We're God's people. Why are we not fighting? I mean, I remember a lecture David gave when he was going to fight the Philistines. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And he wanted somebody to come and help him. But I think about that. But then I see the other one. I mentioned Samson. Samson's friends, but Samson's flesh. Do you know why Samson was in this battle? Because of Samson. Samson got himself into this mess. Do you know how I spend a large amount of my time battling this Christian walk? It ain't even my wife. It's me. And I am my biggest foe. Samson was here because that little gal that got to bat her eyes at him down there at Timnath. He went against the will of God. He was completely controlled by the desires and the appetites of his flesh. And all he did was follow after that, and his flesh got him to this battle. I want to tell you, you better get the reins and pull the reins on your flesh. One of the greatest things that we can ever do as a Christian is learn to tell ourselves no. Let me just give you some scripture here. The Bible says it better than anything. There's a great conflict involved with our flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. So these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. There's an ongoing constant struggle between the flesh and the spirit. Romans 8 says in verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That's what Samson was doing. But they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded, fleshly minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now I think about this thing of saying no to the flesh. Now I'm going to be honest, I have trouble saying no to something. There's areas of my life that I lack self-control. And my greatest vice, I just thank God that it is not an illegal substance. I love Pepsi, I love Coca-Cola, I love Cherry Dr. Pepper, I love Mellow Yellow. And I have made efforts in my life to cut them out. I mean, I have cut back on them. But you're catching me at a time in my life where I've fallen completely off the wagon. And all I can say is thank God it's not alcohol. Thank God it's not drugs or something else like that. But you know, at the same time, that is a fault. That is a fault. That's harmful to me physically. And I ain't preaching on gluttony. I'm using that as an illustration. Don't go out and say, Brother Tim preached against drinking drinks. I can't practice that, so I ain't preaching that. But I'm saying just as that's harmful to my flesh, there are things that are harmful to my inner man. I mean, we rejoice when we say bodily exercise profiteth a little. But brother, there's some things that we need to be participating in spiritually and things that we need to walk away from spiritually. And Samson needed to have turned his back on Timnath. I mean, he needed to have walked away from that little gal. So here he is in this battle. But then the third combatant I want to look at tonight are the Philistines. I will call these Samson's foes. Now I looked at these Philistines and looked back at them a little bit. Just looking at the little bit of their history back through the Word of God. What do we know about the Philistines? We can go back to Abraham and to Isaac. And you remember that man by the name of Abimelech. Now I believe, just looking, trying to study, I think that was more of a title than a name. Abimelech, I believe, was a king over the Philistines. And you know what they were notorious to do? Abraham fighting with them over their wells. Isaac was a well dealer, well digger. Well, did I say well dealer, well driller, well digger? And he digging wells. And that same crowd was constantly, the Philistines coming and filling up his wells. Well, I want to tell you, the Philistines will fill up your well. Fill up that place of grace in your life and stop it up and shut you down. But the thing about Philistines I see too, they're always showing up. At least three times in the book of Judges, they came and brought the children of Israel into bondage. They oppressed them. They kept them from having their freedom. Now I want to tell you, we're free. You hear me? Christ, the Bible says, whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Amen? I'm free. I'm more than free because I'm an American. I'm free because I am a child of God. I have been set free from my past. I'm set free from the fear of the future. You're looking at a man that's free. Hallelujah. Thank God I'm free tonight. But the thing is, sometimes I get in bondage. And who is it that bonds me? It's that Philistine nature, the devil. And see, that's the flesh again. He's continuously taking away our freedom. I find it was these Philistines that God used to judge Israel in 1 Samuel chapter number 4. When Samuel was starting to come onto the scene, they attacked and they took the ark out to try to scare the Philistines away. Well, the Philistines fought them and they took the ark. That ark represents the presence of God. And I know that we are indwelt by the Holy Ghost. But boy, don't let the word, don't let the flesh and the devil steal that in your life. Something else I've noticed about the Philistines. They have giants. They have giants. Those sons of Anak were big men. I think Goliath had four brothers. They're giants. And that's just like the day that put giants in our lives and these obstacles and these things in our lives that we just can't quite overcome. That's what the Philistines do. But I think of this, it was these Philistines, and I'm not going much further down the road. They don't have a permanent future, by the way. David will come along here in just a little while, and he will end what Samson started. But these Philistines, they were responsible for the death of Saul. That was those who was always showing up. And ultimately, these Philistines were responsible for Saul's death. But I want to tell you, I say again, recognize the enemy. Know who the combatants are and who you're to be fighting against, because you can't have victory if you don't fight. Amen? And you're definitely not going to win if you don't fight the right people. And there's wars in history. The part of the reason our nation didn't win because they never could pinpoint who the enemy was. But know who the enemy is. And I know in Ephesians chapter 6, I didn't quote that verse, but it says the weapons of our warfare are not mine. That's not the right word. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against rulers of darkness in high place. We're fighting the devil and the spirit of the devil that's on this land. But then not only do you recognize the combatants, but you've got to rely on the Spirit. Look what happens in this text. Samson has been tied by his brethren, by the children of Israel. And the Philistines began to lead him away. But boy, there was a miracle that took place. I mean, this was a miracle. You've got one man tied versus 1,000 men. Look at the Bible says that the Spirit came on in verse number 14. And the cords that were around upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. There's two parts of this miracle we'll look at. There's the miracle of what I'll call this emancipation. You know, I thought he was free. I've already talked about being free. What's so great a miracle about being free? Well, let's look at some times in our life when we got saved where God could come by a sinner's way. Somebody that's an alcoholic or some that's a drug addict or somebody that's life is just going down a road of destruction. And God could come by one day. And boy, what he does, he sets free. I mean, there's people sitting in this room, boy, the things that used to bind you. Thank God you made a trip by Calvary and he set you free. You're not chained to that. The devil's not your taskmaster. It was what you were, but what you are now, you're free. That's a miracle. I mean, that's a miracle. I mean, there's rehab places all over the country trying to deliver people from drugs. There's counselors everywhere. Millions of dollars being spent to do that and can't help them. Oh, what Jesus can do. I think of that madman of Gadara who stayed in the tombs. He ran the mountains and cried at night. They tried to chain him. They tried to do all that they could, but they couldn't bind him. They couldn't cure him. But oh, Jesus stepped out of the boat off that lake of Gadara one night, and boy, somebody finally helped him. I think of that woman with the issue of blood. She went to every doctor she'd find 12 years, wasted her substance, and nobody could help her. One day she found, pressed through the crowd, and she found Jesus. I want to tell you, that's miracles. It's a miracle that God set him free as a sinner in salvation. But it's a miracle what God does for us after we're saved. I want to tell you something. I ain't said a bad word all day. I ain't been around my wife much, but I said a bad word all day. I ain't looked at a dirty picture all day. I hadn't drunk a beer all day. I don't even think I've talked about anybody today. I ain't gonna say 100% sure. I don't think I have. But you know, why, Brother Tim, was the temptation not there? Why? Thank God I've been set free. That's why you did that. That's why you're here tonight. That's something tried to keep you out of church tonight. You're free from that. You've been loose from that. That's a miracle. There's people all over the world falling in that trap, falling for that, but it's a miracle. There's that miracle, that freedom. Let me ask you something. What if Samson's hands had stayed tied? What if his arms? I mean, from what the scripture says, his hands were tied and there was a band around his arms. I mean, so he was tied. I mean, what could he do? What can you do tonight? How are you for the fight? What's got you bound? What's got you tied? And we know Samson, a lot of times he wasn't just bound by ropes. He was bound by his desires and by his flesh. I want to tell you something. Lord can give you victory over that. Just like you, when you came to the altar, he saved you. I tell you what, I dare you tonight. I dare you in a holy way. That thing you're fighting against, don't you bring that to the Lord? Why don't you give that thing to the Lord? That's God to set you free from that. Why don't you ask him that? Why don't you finally quit fighting at yourself, trying to figure out yourself, trying to search cures on the internet, trying to read books about everything else about it. Say, Lord, I can't get free of this. I can't get this off me. Will you help me tonight? I tell you, I'm convinced he will. But it didn't just set him free. He's free now. One man, 1,000 people. One man, 1,000 soldiers. God has to empower him. Well, God's going to send him into this fight. Praise God. What's God going to send him? He can whip these Philistines with. He's going to send down a storm and fiery hailstones to beat these Philistines? No. Is he going to send an army over the ridge of warriors and soldiers? Is he going to send angels in to deliver him? No. He shows them a jawbone laid on the ground. Say, grab that jawbone, have at it. Well, there wasn't anything special about that jawbone. And I'm going to tell you something, there's nothing special about you. But boy, when God's touch gets on that God has given you, it changes everything. It changes everything when God's hand and his touch gets on that. I mean, that's unbelievable that a man would take a new jawbone of an ass and defeat 1,000 men. That is a miracle that God gave him the victory. Victory is a miracle. But I want to just throw this in here. The Bible says it was a new jawbone. I wonder how long it'd been there. I wonder how it wound up in that spot. I mean, Samson's tied up and he's loose. Do you think he had to run across the field to get that jawbone? I think they marched him right up there, tied up, stopped right there at that jawbone. Everything dropped off and it was on. God empowered him. He empowered his weapon. But I want to say this again. The weapon that he used, he empowered. Thank God God arms us and equips us for the fight and for what God's called you to do. I'll say this to you, preacher boys, again. And God will equip you where God guides, he provides. And I'll say this, it may not be the exact illustration. I remember Ed McAbee saying this years ago at a meeting, there's men, they can sow a lot better than I can sow. They can sow a whole lot more seed than I can sow. They'll never sow any better seed than I sow. Amen. God give you exactly what you need. But look at this war. I say again, 1,000 Philistines. I mean, one man versus 1,000. When's the last time you was in a place where there was 1,000 people? This room, I mean, if we put 1,000 people in here, the choir's full, there's chairs in the aisles, there's chairs in the balcony, there's chairs in the front, we probably chairs up here. I mean, it's packed in here like sardines. We put 1,000 people. And then one man with a jawbone. And God empowers him. I mean, just how bad do you think a man, how good can a man swing a jawbone? I mean, how good can you hang on to that? Was it the bottom part? Was it the whole head? I mean, what was it? But son, he swung that thing with the touch and the power of God and with God's touch on it. It hit its mark every time. I mean, man, it landed just exactly like it should every time. And boy, it did the damage it needed to do every time. Every time he swung it, I bet you he didn't hit a man one time. I bet you sometimes he come through, he caught 3 or 4 of them with that thing because God's power was on him to do it. And God can empower men to do it. You back up a few chapters to chapter 3 and you find a man by the name of Shamgar who took an ox goat. And the best I would figure, it almost looks like a spear, but it's got a hook on it. Now I guess that hook's to grab the yoke and pull him back out. I don't know what it's for, but Shamgar took that ox goat and God empowered him and he killed 600 Philistines by himself. I read today when I was looking at the Philistines, they were never a people of great population, but they were always mighty warriors. I want to tell you what, it wasn't like a video game where it had all the cheats turned on. I mean, brother, he went at it with the power of God. Boy, I think about that tonight. Now look, I'm not fighting 1,000 men. I'm getting up and leading the choir. I'm trying to teach a Sunday school class. I'm trying to be a witness, and I'm trying to preach, but I'm glad, thank God, wherever I'm doing, that God's having me do it. If you're walking up down the streets, knocking on doors, or you're on the job trying to reach somebody for the Lord Jesus, or you're on your face doing battle with God on your, doing battle for God on your face with prayer, I want you to know God can empower. Hey, my flesh can't do nothing. I remember hearing a preacher pray, got in there, Victor, Brother Phillips, I remember hearing him pray one night. He said, Lord, we done seen what the flesh can do. We don't need none of that. We need all that you've got. I tell you, that's what makes a difference in this church. That's, hey, listen, I can't arrange, I can't teach a loud enough or a pretty enough song. Pastor Shelton can't doctor up an outline. He can't fix it up. I can't either. And boy, you can't do just right. But I'm going to tell you what, if God's power gets in this place, we come together, that's what's going to touch that sinner. That's what's going to break that heart. That's what's going to draw them to Jesus. Hey, this world has tried to substitute that for everything else in the world. That's why we preach against some of these new movements. They try to bring in the band. They try to stir up the smoke. They try to lower the standards. There is no substitute for the power of God. Samson couldn't have killed one Philistine. He couldn't have broke a rope. He couldn't have picked that ass's head up off the ground without the power of God. It's the supernatural side. But here's Samson. He's won the victory. That's it. I mean, he's figured out the enemy. He's fought this battle. But where do we find Samson? I want to give you one more thing that's key for this victory. You got to replenish for the next battle. Think about how vulnerable Samson was right here. You know what he did just quick as the battle was over? He made a terrible mistake. I believe he did. Bible says he cast that jawbone aside. I'm going to say this to you, child of God. There's never, ever a place to lay your weapon down. Never. Boy, don't ever lay, you're in enemy territory every day of your life. Satan is the god of this world right now. I know God's on the throne, he's in control, but we know who's controlling the people's attitudes and everything else. Don't lay that weapon aside. I think of times I'll try to speak in tongues to you tonight. When I've been involved, I mean, going through a revival meeting or something, or going through times where I've just been really, really busy, and boy, I've just had to keep my nose to the grind, and you come out of that, you know what rears up? That old flesh. He's been deprived, and he's been denied, and oh, it's my turn. I need some me time. That's what that flesh will do. That's what he'll tell you. But I want to remind you at these times, I see some things that Samson did here. First of all, he prayed. The Bible says two times in the story of Samson, we find him praying. The Bible says that he called on the name of the Lord. You know, the Bible says in Luke 18 that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Just because your task is done, don't mean to stop praying. Boy, it's time to prepare for the next battle. I was looking in the Gospels today, and I think about Jesus when after he had fed the multitudes. The Bible says in Matthew 14 that he went apart to pray. In Luke chapter 5, after he had healed that leper, the Bible says that he went apart to pray. Now, I'm going to tell you, if my Lord had to do that, how much more somebody like me? How much more somebody like you after that time to get apart and to pray? I tell you, it's a vulnerable time, but not just to pray. What else did Samson do? I mean, look at these words in verse number 18. He said he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. I'm going to tell you what, if I wanted another victory, I believe for the last victory I'd praise him for. I believe I'd start thanking him. Lord, thank you for pulling them ropes off. Thank you, God, for pulling them things off. Thank you, God, for giving me a weapon. Thank you, God, for giving me power. Thank you, God, for giving me victory over the enemy. I tell you, when I get through preaching, I look back, and because I'm nothing. Boy, I am nothing. But boy, I don't want to ever miss chance for any good thing that God's done. Lord, thank you. If I sing some word and it looks like somebody's heart's been touched, God help me to always say, Lord, thank you. I mean, when God brings you through it, thank God, thank Him. Okay, always thank God. It's always appropriate to praise Him. You know, I wonder sometimes if the reason that we don't have any praise is because we don't have any victory to praise Him about. But then last of all, not just pray and praise, but the Bible says when Samson cried out to Him, that God pulled out a hollow place in the jaw. Now, you can read several commentaries on this, and one will say that there was a place up there that was a spring, and somebody will say it's a jawbone. Well, I'm not going to argue that tonight, but I believe it was the jawbone. That's what I believe. And the miraculous thing is that God took that it was His weapon, and used it to refresh Him. And so what you need to do tonight is to replenish for the battle is pray, praise, and get back in there and get you another drink. Man can't live by bread alone. By every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. I want to tell you what, this is your weapon. Yes, it is. But it's your sustenance. You need the word. And the great thing is, I can open it up, Brother Ben. I can read it for myself. I have a bookshelf of men that will break it down and explain it to me. I can open up the internet and I could find page after page after page of preaching, of men preaching the Bible. I can pull into the house of God. I can hear a man preach. I can go into Sunday school. Do you know that? We have Bible in Sunday school. Amen. We have Bible in Sunday school. I want to tell you, you need the Bible. And Samson needed that. That's what prepares you for the next victory. And so these things we've looked at tonight, just little secrets to Samson's victory. Know who recognize who the combatants are. Rely on the Spirit and replenish for the next battle. Because we're in a battle. There'll be another fight. But I want you to know there'll be another power. there'll be another liberty. When I was praying before I come in to preach tonight, God, loose me. Loose me, Lord. Loose me, Lord. Empower me. I don't want to preach this. Can you live it? And so I praise the Lord for His help tonight, for His grace. But I tell you, I want victory tonight. I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know your struggle. But I believe there's a few things that attributed to Samson's victory. And those same things will attribute to our victory as we walk with the Lord Jesus. So stand with their heads bowed and eyes closed. Brother Scott's going to come. He's going to get us a song. I appreciate your attention tonight. Appreciate the good liberty. And I trust that the Lord has spoken to your heart through your word, that you've found some help. If God spoke to your heart tonight, we're going to sing in just a minute. I encourage you, whatever He's dealt with, deal with it. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name tonight. God, I thank you for your help. I thank you for your good grace. Thank you, God, for your hand upon us tonight. And Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that it always finds its mark. And I thank you, Lord, that it has all the help that we need. And I pray, Lord, that your Spirit of God would liberate that one tonight that needs liberating. God, you'd empower that one tonight that needs power. And God, it may be there's some that's weary from the fight. I pray, God, they'd find a place, Lord, where they'd get a drink. And God, get the refreshment they need. And Lord, I pray you'd bless and you'd give this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, God.